with the girlfriends, or mama, as we like to say.
More life with the girlfriends.
Yes.
Capital M, capital O, capital R, capital E.
More life with the girlfriends.
More life. And isn't that what we all want? You know, we want just more life.
More life.
You know, we want to feel joyful, or at least, here are some of the things we want, right? We want to feel joyful.
Right.
We want to feel confident. We want to feel,
I think, abundant. Like we
yes,
can,
prosperous.
Prosperous.
Because I like the word prosperous because it means that you always just have more than what you need.
Right. And I think
I like that.
Yeah.
That's more.
And it is more alive. And I think that some of us want to are trying to believe we can create a little bit of our own life, whatever that
life
looks.
By design.
Life by design instead of life by default.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit.
And sometimes it is about default, isn't it?
Oh,
boy.
For sure.
Wow.
When you look back and go, you know, I've been trying to design my life for a long time, but it's been always by default. You know, or that old program comes back in because it's easier,
mm-hmm.
and it takes care of business, mm-hmm. and it takes care of the life that you have at the moment.
Right. And you know how to do that one so
oh, for
well.
Sure. But hey, we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. We're mother and daughter. We're,
and I'm the mama?
Yes.
I'm Christine, and I'm the mama?
And I'm going to, I have an agenda today, everyone.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Oh, no. Are you waterlogged today, Julie?
I'm not saying I'm not. I mean, I may be waterlogged.
I never know. It's always on the radio show. Julie always, I'm waterlogged, mama. I'm waterlogged.
Exactly. But I'm going to try and talk slower this week.
All right.
Because as you have been saying to me, there are times, Julie, Marie, that I can barely understand you because you're just talking way too fast.
But can I say something, though? When I listen to the mm-hmm. the podcast, I can always understand you perfectly.
It's just at that moment.
At that moment on the phone. But, I mean, I guess because the technology on the podcast from BBS Radio is so good.
Right.
I love them, guys.
Oh, and they're just kicking butts. They're just...
I know.
Every time I turn around, they've got new stuff going on, and mm-hmm. it's just wonderful what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that they're designing their life as well.
Yeah. Well, we even were listening to George and Uri one night, and... they had one guy was saying, you know, oh, yeah, I've got my radio show on bbsradio.com. And
yes.
And George like, goes, wow. Oh, cool.
Cool. We love BBS Radio. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
So they're getting around. They're getting around. Like, they've been around the block a couple of times. I don't know what the right word is.
Well, Julie, would
they're
you like somebody saying that about you, that you've been around the block a few times?
I have. I wouldn't know what to say, but yes.
Yeah, you're right.
You're
what
right about
say?
That.
What can I say?
Depending on what block it is, I've been around it a couple of times.
Yeah. It's a corner of, let's see, I'll take an El Paso and a...
yeah.
I don't know.
So we're going to have an interesting show tonight. We're going to kind of divert a little bit from some... Well, okay, I'm not even going to say we're going to divert because we are about having more life. And today we're going to talk about death. about how to have more life in death.
Oh, okay. Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, and
okay.
Also, though, I want to talk about Sam Elliott because I have a...
Wait, did you just say Sam Elliott?
Yes, he's like my cougar, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, if I'm going to go after an older guy, he would be it.
All right.
And I just read a little bit of an article on him before mm-hmm. waiting for the show to start, mm-hmm. and I'm like, you know, I dig him.
Yeah.
Do you know who he's married to?
Jessica Lange?
No, Catherine Ross.
Oh, Catherine Ross, yes.
Sam Elliott.
That's right.
No, Sam, who is married to...
Who is married to Sam?
No, to Jessica Lange. Gosh, what's his name?
Is
Sam,
it Sam
Shepard.
Sam Shepard. Okay.
I think
that's
it, right?
Gotcha.
Yes.
You know what, though?
Mm-mm.
I would take either of those two Sams.
Either one.
I would take either of those two Sams.
Exactly.
Of course, they wouldn't be my cougars. They'd be my paramours.
Your contemporaries,
yeah,
yes.
Contemporaries, yes.
I get that. So we're going to talk about just some interesting things that have come up about dying, about passing on, and how we start feeling about this. And
hey, do we hear the sounds of podcast turning off all over.
Yes,
there,
like, I don't want to do this.
Stay tuned. I'm sure it's going to get good because it's the girlfriends that are
exactly.
talking about it.
Exactly. And we love to have more life and talking about this stuff. And I really think we're to a point now where we are beginning to talk more about these issues.
For sure.
And I just want to throw it out a little bit and kind of think deeper about it and have fun with it because it is bittersweet. It can be bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for sure that there's only one thing. Now, when I was growing up, okay, I remember, Mom, I asked you this question last weekend or over the weekend. You came up with an answer. So everyone, there was a question I proposed. I think I mentioned it last week about Roger Ebert mentioned this question to Oprah, and Oprah was so taken aback by this question. She had to reflect on it for several days before she came up with an answer. Now, she did not tell me the answer, so I have no idea what she said.
Mm-hmm.
But the question was this, and then I asked you the same question.
You proposed this question to me.
I did, which is, Mama, what are you really sure about?
That's right.
Sure about.
Yeah.
And you're like, did Miss Beat?
Yeah.
Death and taxes. I'm only
and
sure
I guess,
about
you know,
one thing.
That was a cheap shot, I guess. That was
well,
a
you
cheap
were
answer.
100%.
Yes.
Yes, you were not.
No.
You're like, I don't know anything, but I believe in it. I know.
Yeah.
I'm sure of death and taxes.
That's right.
And
what
I thought,
are you sure of?
And I'm like, okay. Now, when I was a little kid, I wasn't sure of death. Mm-hmm. Because I think both my grandmothers were fairly religious. One was a Catholic, one was a Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny because they're almost like the Hatfields and McCoys.
Mm-hmm.
In a very odd sense. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think that way, but Luther, you know.
Luther?
Yeah, Martin Luther.
MLK, no, just kidding.
That's from a show from Pastor.
Pastor, yes.
You know, an inside joke, everyone.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the first one that broke free from the Catholic Church.
Right.
So it's kind of funny that, you know, my dad's Lutheran and my mom's Catholic and they fell in love together and, you know, and we're big rebels. But my grandmother growing up, my grandmother on my father's side, the Lutheran grandmother, would sometimes say something to me like, "Now, you're not all into that Mary stuff, are you?" I would be like, no. What's the right answer to that? What is that Mary stuff anyway?
Exactly.
But I remember, now where am I at in this story? No, I can't remember the story. I had a point, though. What was it about?
About Roger Ebert.
Oh, right. And so, but growing up, when I didn't think I was going to die. I really thought when I was young that I would be raptured up or God would come and take me right into heaven.
Now,
I would not have to die.
Did you learn that or you just had a feeling about that?
I think I must have learned it somewhere that what the rapture was about in some people, and then I grabbed hold of it. Like, oh, this is my way out without having to die. Oh, not going to die.
Yeah.
I'm going to be raptured up. God, I'm like, this is awesome.
Well, when we were little kids, the nuns used to tell us because that the end of the world would come in 1999 or 2000.
Right.
And that we'd still be alive so that we would be raptured up. We wouldn't have to die either.
And so, you know, those times, you know, to people who are prophesizing end of the world stuff, never give an exact date.
Right.
Give it more general.
Yeah. Although, you know, with the blood moon, is it tonight or is it tomorrow night? There are some people out there that are prophesizing, you know.
Yes, exactly.
The end of the world with the blood moon.
Well, I just got a text at this moment from Douglas saying, "Want to watch the lunar eclipse, the blood moon?"
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, busy. You know, hello.
God forbid he'd listen to your radio show, Joe.
I know. Exactly. Sometime, maybe. Mm. Is it happening now, the lunar eclipse? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I think it's tonight.
Oh, okay, good. So anyway, so I just always felt that I wasn't going to die. And then once, I think 30 came around, I kind of said, you know what? There's a 50-50 chance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through that process. And then once 40 hit, I was like, I'm pretty damn sure I'm going to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to go through the dying process.
Mm-hmm.
And having people close to me pass away in some very tender situations, it's just been this interesting subject. And then your good friend, Marcia,
mm-hmm. yes.
who's a therapist, and I don't know if you call her a coach, but she's a therapist like
yes.
you are.
Yes.
She's having a conference on conscious living and conscious dying.
She is, and I believe it's next weekend.
October 10th on Saturday.
Oh, the following weekend.
Yep,
then.
From 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Central Time in Pueblo, Colorado.
Yeah. Oh, so if everybody, I know that if you can't make it, I know there'll be conscious living, conscious dying. I know there'll be videos.
Right. But the website is consciouslivingdying.org.
Okay.
And it's so cute. I love her beautiful website, but I just love the title of her conference, which is Creating Peaceful Passages, but Southern Colorado Conference on Conscious Living and Dying. Like, not Northern Colorado Conference.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No, we're not associated
no,
with those schools. Don't even go there.
Don't even go to Northern Colorado. No,
wait.
We're
we are
Southern.
The Southern Colorado Conference. Not to be confused. It's the Northern one.
Yeah. So this will be a very interesting, exciting event for a lot of, you know, people that are looking forward to the conscious living and conscious dying process.
Right. And she's got amazing guests coming. Here's a quote from Buddha. In the end, only three things matter: how much you loved, how gently you lived, and how gracefully you let go of things not meant for you.
Mm, oh. I love that. Say that again.
Yeah. In the end, only three things matter: how much you loved, and girlfriend, you loved a lot.
Thank you.
How gently you lived, and for me, not so gently sometimes, and how gracefully you let go of things not meant for you.
Wow. How true is that one?
Exactly.
Wow.
And, you know, I love this idea, like some of her guests she's going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Myers, Leave a Legacy, Not a Mess.
Yeah. How true is that, though?
Totally.
Imagine
true.
A lot of people, you know, do leave messes for their kids to clean up.
Well, when you see the show Hoarders,
yes,
you're like,
that's a real mess.
That's a real mess, and I can see how someone would go, I wouldn't mind dying because I don't want to deal with this mess.
Right.
My kids, or let them just burn it, set a match to it,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's interesting because this is just something kind of funny and off topic slightly. So everybody knows I love Adam Carolla's show.
Mm-hmm.
I love his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about. He was on The Man Show 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
With, God, what's his name?
Dr. Drew?
No, The Man Show.
Oh,
Kimmel.
Jimmy
Kimmel.
Kimmel.
Yep. And so one of the skits was this. It was a service that you could hire that once you died, they would quickly be notified and they would go into your house or apartment and quickly father sanitize it so that they, like, when your parents came over, they wouldn't see, like, your porn.
Oh.
Or, like, the mess. Or, like, unpaid bills, you know. And visualize anything worse. They wouldn't see any of that stuff because they would come in and quickly sanitize it all so that when the parents finally came over, they would go, oh, my son.
That's so great.
You know, maybe their journal would be thrown away and replaced with, my mom and dad are so wonderful for me.
Yeah, pictures of the mom. See, now that's a niche.
That's a niche. I know.
Yeah.
You say niche.
Or
I
niche.
Say niche. You know, and then, of course, you know, they're talking about one of the conference. Part of the conference is near-death experiences, a speaker panel.
Yes.
I'm like, that's awesome.
Yes.
And I remember we were interviewing a woman, I can't remember her name right now, but she had a near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to share it. And I remember saying, hey, everyone, so-and-so had a near-death experience, so you don't have to.
You know, I remember you saying that.
It felt so smart at the time.
Did it? What'd you say?
It felt so smart at the time. Like,
didn't it kind of fall flat, though?
It did. I thought
she
it was hysterical.
Like, no.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, like, you know, you disrespect me, girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's what she was. I kind of felt like
Oh, did you felt that way?
Dropped.
I thought it was hysterical.
Oh, no, I liked it. No,
yeah.
I liked it. But I just felt
it,
like she
hey,
didn't like
yeah,
it.
Like, hey, you're making fun of my... No, I'm not. I mean, hey, death is... Mm-hmm. Either we're going to cry about it or we're going to laugh about it.
Yeah. Well, Marcia was telling me that the panel, you know, and she said there's some really good, you know, speakers on the panel for the near-death experience, but then there are a couple of wild cards, you know.
Oh, did she say that?
Yeah.
Well, she has a big wanted sign on her email, on her website.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted, near-death experience people.
Well, that could be a wild card, then.
That could be a wild card. If you're going to do it that way, that could be a wild card.
Yeah. So it's going to be a good time. What? How much are the tickets? Do you know? I think they're 70 or 80.
I'm going to look that up right now. There was a you know, what they call it, an early bird special price.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm unfortunately, that's
probably passed.
That's probably passed, yeah.
Speaking of passed, no, I
didn't. We may have puns all the time, people.
We might.
You know.
We roll that way?
We roll that way.
We roll that way.
$85 if it's not early bird, and it's not. So.
And so what's the name of the website again?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's $70 until October 1st.
Oh, well, hell, there's still time.
There's still time.
Yeah.
You know, so go for it. And what'd you say, girlfriend?
What's the name of the website again?
ConsciousLivingDying.org. And they're going to have also some vendors there, but speakers, they're going to have another speaker, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that one guy. I can't think of his name now, but he's supposed to be really good.
Yes. But anyway, he's talking about Buddhism.
Yes.
Insights in Buddhism into dying.
Yes.
And that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, especially when you just quoted the Buddha.
Yeah.
That you loved.
In the end, only three things matter: how much you loved, how gently you lived, and how gracefully you let go of things not meant for you.
Yeah.
And so, when we were promoting her conference and talking about the conference, you and I started really about this conversation about dying.
We did.
And I mentioned first off how, you know, Doug's mom is in that stage where she's in hospice, but there's no one really knows for sure how long. She could be, you know, she could be going through this process for a year or two. We don't know. But she's choosing to be in hospice and choosing to limit her care if she got sick and not to go beyond the scope of medical care.
Well, so she's choosing to stay in her home.
Yes.
And, and she has determined a long time ago how she wants to
Well, this is the most interesting part I love about her.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want a service. She doesn't want to be in a casket and be buried or cremated. She has a number that Doug's supposed to call when she passes away at home. And then somebody comes and picks her up, and her body is given to science.
Right.
And she's not really sure how it's going to be divided or what's it going to be used for.
But she didn't care.
And she doesn't care.
No.
And I heard this whole report on this podcast.
But don't you think that's kind of interesting, though, that everybody, I mean, I don't know if it's just Doug that has the number, but.
I'm sure it's, you know, paperclip to the wall or I don't know. But I know he has, he's supposed to be calling and so forth. And so it brought up this subject, like, well, how do you want to die? Because you're dead, it doesn't really matter, and to give your body to science, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And for her, at her generation, seems pretty awesome to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure. And then you were telling me Marcia's father, who passed recently.
Yes.
It was a very non-traditional way he went as well.
Well, first of all, he moved out of his house and moved in with one of his sons in Washington State. And he lived to a ripe old age, like 95 or something, I think. I'm pretty sure. But they just drove the body back to Colorado, southern Colorado. One of his daughters did. And the grandsons, you know, there's this little tiny church in one of the little tiny towns in southern, that they were there for decades and decades. And the grandchildren, the grandsons, dug the hole for the body, and a couple of the other grandsons actually built the, you know, the little casket or box that he would be buried in. And, you know, it was just a simple church service, and all the people of the town came to the church, and then they had, you know, potluck afterwards. But it was just, like, totally, you know, keeping him on ice.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't even know. I mean, I imagine they had to get some kind of a death certificate, you know, at some point. But totally, definitely old school, way, way old school.
Yes.
You know, how this happened.
It's very interesting to think about that.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. I mean, there's a real sweetness to
yeah.
it. But for a lot of reasons. Number one, you know, this long life.
Yeah.
You know, that's there's a lot of comfort in that, right? I mean, you don't
yeah.
feel like it's a tragedy or anything
oh,
like
no.
that. And then going back to the you know, the little church with the little cemetery behind it that was their church for, you know, like I said, decades and decades, and having the grandsons dig the hole, you know, and make
right.
the actual casket. And I think everybody just, you know, sang songs and
aww.
I mean, just yeah,
well,
really, really, you know,
yeah,
sweet, old timey, you know,
right.
So I imagine this conference that she's, you know, having will have some of that good energy into
oh,
it for
I'm sure.
sure.
I'm definitely sure, and that's part of the dying process, kind of contemplating mm-hmm. what to be done with you afterwards.
Yes.
And then there's this whole other thing, which is, you know, what to be done the year before or the month before or the week before if you know something is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me.
Waterlogged.
Yeah, exactly.
Waterlogged.
I was reading this one article, and this kind of started the conversation. So we have,
oh, yeah.
You know, first of all, Doug always tells me, he goes, you know, please, I want to be sent off into the lake, and I want everybody to shoot arrows at my body, and then I want to burst into flames, and then just like the Vikings, right? I'm like, oh, for heaven's sakes. And
can I say something?
Yeah.
Doug, you are no Viking.
Right. And I said, and I say as a good girlfriend, sure, no problem. You're not going to know either anyway. You're not going to be offended. Hopefully by then.
No, I'd like to shoot an arrow.
Yeah.
flaming arrow.
Exactly. And so, but then I was reading this one article, and it talked about how near the end of our life, there's so much cost involved, medical cost,
mm-hmm.
depending if you haven't discussed that or whatever. Even mm-hmm. if you have, there's just a lot of medical cost in keeping you alive
mm-hmm.
or trying to save you. That it was just one blurb in this one article. I can't find it again.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about this idea that if you choose to forgo all of that stuff after a certain point,
mm-hmm.
your family would get a credit from the government. Because, like, the Medicare costs mm-hmm. are so high.
It's like 25%.
Well, then I was reading this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I was reading this one article from, it's called The Doctor Is In, Discussing End-of-Life Care. And you brought this up to me in this article
mm-hmm.
by Dr. Don Lewis, a local doctor in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful article. And in it, he talks about, like you just said, it says, according to a study in 2010, 25% of Medicare dollars is spent on people in their last year of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's so
a huge amount.
That's a huge, not keeping you well.
No.
But keeping you alive
yeah.
from that last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the problem is we don't know what that last year is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this the last year?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the last year?
Yeah.
You know, and can I recover? Can I not?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was a very interesting topic, because this doctor, Dr. Don Lewis, talks about how you're allowed to write a paragraph in your end-of-life care kind of contract in
mm-hmm.
some sense.
Mm-hmm.
And his is so sweet. He says, you know, if I had a serious life-threatening illness or injury with full recovery not possible,
mm-hmm.
and I could not recognize my wife's presence and feel her love, then I would want absolutely nothing done for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me move on. Let my mm-hmm. body move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah, that's beautiful.
It is, and it's courageous.
And yet, at those moments, you're like, okay, well, what really does that mean, though? Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want you to starve to death. You know, I don't want
mm-hmm.
you to. I don't want you to be dehydrated. But yet, if you're dying, I don't know mm-hmm. what that process is like.
He mentions to maybe
mm-hmm.
this one where he said, if I can't recognize you or something, and he just says, He said, go have a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
remember that line?
If I'm not being able to enjoy life and I come into the hospital and somehow I end up in intensive care, he goes, which I wouldn't, you know, because I've had a stroke or a heart attack, and, you know, and I can't recognize you, I want someone to just leave me alone. You know, I'm not, you know, I've had a good life. But he also says there, he goes, you know.
I thought he said something like, go have a cup of coffee or something.
Yet, if there is no hope of real recovery, just go have a cup of coffee, think about me in a kind way, and please say a prayer.
Right.
Boom.
Boom. Yeah.
And I remember Grandmother D'Antoni, the Catholic grandmother.
Yeah. Hold that thought, because he also, Dr. Lewis, said something like, so let's, he goes, for example, let's say I have cancer. And he said, maybe I have a good, my prognosis is maybe 3 to 4 years.
Right.
He said, but if I break my leg, in, you know, fix it. I mean, how crystal clear and how sweet is that, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, he just knows.
Right.
You know, and you can go ahead and talk about my mom now, because I think that these are probably very good issues, because I know my brother John had a power of attorney, I think, with her or something, but he did all the, and he had DNRs put everywhere, which means do not resuscitate.
Right.
And it was kind of easy for him, because he was way down in St. Louis and she was up here.
Right.
And, you know, there were times that you didn't want her to suffer, you know, and it, but they were not doing anything, you know, they were just letting her be.
Well, that's the whole idea, that we don't know exactly can recover.
I know.
But I think good doctors have a good idea.
Yeah.
Because certainly grandmother was in a nursing home and then near us, and you know, when we were visiting her, they had told me, like, she had a couple scares, and then she'd come out of it. And this one scare, like, she had one scare where she was choking on her food and went to the hospital, and, you know, and I went there, and but she recovered from that. You know,
but she had was without oxygen for a while.
Right, and I remember getting the call, and I wanted to see how she was doing, and the nurse said, "So now, I just want to say something." And I'm like, "Okay, what do you want to say?" She goes, "Is your
sometimes
grandma?
They're not.
Yeah, she does. Sometimes they come back not totally all there." I'm like, "Okay." She goes, "Is your grandma kind of like mean?" I go, her.
Yeah.
That's her.
She's back.
Oh, she's back. She's all there then. She's 100% there.
Yes.
She's got this look on her face like, I'm going to kill you.
She probably didn't want to come back.
That could be, too.
Yeah.
That definitely could be.
Yeah.
And she survived that time. But you know, her quality of life, I don't know. You know, I mean, she, you know.
Dwindled.
Dwindled, for sure. But
big
then
time.
There was a time when she was, it was obvious. I don't know if I really believed it was obvious that this was the last part of her life, the last week.
Mm-hmm.
But she went to the hospital.
Yeah.
The doctor, she went to the emergency room first, because that's what happens. And then he's like, you know, I think this is the last day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, you know, it was a few more days after that.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember then she got moved up to a different room. And her oxygen level was really low, like 74. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but it should be closer to the 90s. And they were really concerned, and it's like, this is going to be the end. I'm like, okay, you know, all right, thank you. And then this one respiratory nurse came in. She goes, oh, I bet her tongue's just in her way from breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she put something in up her nose, and within 5 seconds, her readings were good again.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor's like, why didn't the other respiratory nurse do that?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And so forth.
Exactly.
It didn't change the circumstances.
No.
That this was
it made her more comfortable.
It made her more comfortable.
Maybe, yeah.
Or maybe it, I don't know. But I remember grandmother always saying, I just wanted someone to hold my hand when I die.
Exactly.
And that was the one gift that I could give her.
Yes.
That worked out perfectly, because we really held
zero time.
What do we call it? We held, begin with a V, I think. When, like, you're either there or I'm either there, and we're by her side continuously.
Mm-hmm. I guess holding vigil.
That's it. I think that's what it is.
I guess vigil.
Vigil.
V-I-G-I-L.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? We did
yes.
that.
Yes.
And so, and we were able to be there at that moment of her passing, mm-hmm. And so forth. But my God, I didn't see the bill when it came through, but because she was on Medicare at that time, you know, mm-hmm. and she had insurance, but I'm sure it was a hefty bill.
Mm-hmm.
5 nights in the hospital, mm-hmm. you know, I can't even imagine.
Mm-mm. I don't know either, girlfriend.
I don't either, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of a drag, though, right now, talking about it, but.
Well, but, you know, these are personal stories, you know, about an end of life. Because she would tell me that she, if there was any hope, she would want to keep trying.
Right.
But unfortunately, my brother was the one that had power of attorney.
Right.
I did tell him. I say, my mom said to you, you know, to me that she'd like to, hey, keep trying,
right.
you know. He was like, that's ridiculous.
This is silly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting, though. What do you feel
about
that time?
I don't know. I kind of liked the way, do you remember Joan Rivers?
Mm-hmm.
She, in her last book, she kind of wrote it all out how she wanted to go. She wanted to have the New York Men's
right.
Gay Chorus sing, you know, Amazing
right.
Grace or something. I mean, she just had I kind of like, you know, that idea of having it your way, you know, how you want it.
Having the service your way.
Yes.
Like after you've gone, you want a big party.
I think that's what she wanted. Yeah.
Yes. Is that what you want?
No.
No.
If I had the courage, I'd go the way Doug's mom's going. But I don't have enough courage to, like, I've heard some horror stories, I think, about how the bodies are treated at these medical
mm-hmm.
schools or universities or
right.
research centers.
Right.
And I know that it's just a body and nobody
right.
cares. You know, they're playing soccer with your head. I don't know. But that just gives me the willies, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
I mean, I wish I had the courage to do that because I would like when my brother died. He died unexpectedly. He was just sick for a couple of days and then
yeah,
he died, you know, at home and by himself. But, I mean, his funeral, I think it, I guess it, again, my brother planned it. That's kind of, now I think about it. But I think because he had kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess it was good that they, you know, actually had a service and
right.
saw the body and everything like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm still not answering your question
no.
about me. And that's because I really don't know.
Yeah, it's hard
really
to think about.
I really don't know.
Yeah. Here's the thing for me, and I guess it would depend on my age as well,
mm-hmm.
and who was still around for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you and Dad are around, I think I would want just a little bit more aggressive care.
Right.
But if you and Dad aren't around, I'm like, yeah, you know.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home, Elizabeth.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That would be hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you talk about, which I love. I love that these great spiritual masters talk about, well, you know, it's always your choice when to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just go mm-hmm. into a little quiet space and say it's time.
Mm-hmm. And the light leaves.
Yes. Awesome. I went that way.
Well, there's been lots of stories about that, you know, like where, you know, they've put like some, maybe some monks or something is, you know, in his own little room and they see this big flash of light, you know, coming from underneath the door.
Right.
And, you know, that's when the spirit leaves.
Yes.
Supposedly, you know.
That would be kind of interesting.
I know.
So I guess, I think, I probably should write this down because I don't need to stay if I'm in a coma for long term.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I would like a little bit of assistance, you know, to maybe recover, like give me a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I, you know, it's, and yet at a deep, deep level, because I know I'm a spirit having a physical experience,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay moving on.
Right,
you
are.
I think
yeah.
something else is on the other side of that.
Yes. Yes.
And so I do wonder, well, was this all worth the hassle if it's prolonging
mm-hmm.
my stay here, mm-hmm. and on the other side of all this, I got another journey to go through.
Yes, exactly. And don't you want to like that one quote? I mean, you started the show so great because that one quote is about, it's about love, it's about gentle living, mm-hmm. and it's about gracefully releasing. You know, that's what I would love, you know,
right.
to do that gracefully.
Exactly.
You know, there's always so much, you know, drama or, you know, whatever. And I really wouldn't want that, you know. But
no, I don't want drama for myself or for my family members.
Yeah.
And for people who care about me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it's like sometimes Doug gets a little frustrated about caring for his mom.
Yes.
Totally understandable because it's not like there's an expiration date. Like they know for sure when this will happen.
You know what? That was the thing with my mom, too.
Yeah.
That was the hardest because it's like I remember, you know, thinking, could I keep her at home here?
Yes.
And I said to myself, and this was the best I could do where I was at, if I knew what day it was, I could.
Right.
But if it was just going to be like a year, 2 years, 3 years, you know,
if, yeah.
I didn't think I could.
If they told you even 18 months,
yeah.
done, no
yeah,
problem.
You could have done it. Yeah.
But it was 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that process of deteriorating was 8 years.
Yes.
And you didn't even know then.
No. Mm-mm.
And so that is a difficult situation because you're like,
it is.
We don't know.
Yeah.
And I think, like, right now his sister's in town who just, she was a pharmacist. She didn't retire. She just quit her job, and she's moving with her husband, and she's not yet looking for another job just yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been up here for about a week and a half now. And she's
maybe
caring.
Longer.
Yeah, maybe longer. It feels like it's been a long time. And she's caring for her mom, and I can tell she's really into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know why, and it's because she's going back home in a week.
Right.
And so Doug and his other two sisters are the ones that are still here going, okay, we've all made this commitment that, you know, mom's staying home, and yet how do we do this
mm-hmm.
day in, day out, with other issues as well,
yeah.
like with the adult son that's, mm-hmm. you know, mentally handicapped and
mm-hmm.
taking care of him as well, and,
mm-hmm.
and the other adult son that's not handicapped, but just a nuisance, you know? How did we live through this?
Mm-hmm. And well, yeah, you're absolutely right, because it's not as if, you know, these big families become perfectly functional at these crisis times.
No.
I mean, where their weak links are, their weak links are even weaker.
Oh, and that's what typically happens. We assume sometimes crisis makes us better people.
Mm-hmm.
We step up to the plate and take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes crisis shows us who we really are.
Yes.
And it could be improved.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, so true, Julie.
Yeah, you know, and so it's interesting seeing, I mean, I remember one time, I don't know what happened, but this is one of Grandmother's episodes, you know, when she was in the hospital one time. And for whatever reason, Greg and I went down there, and my uncle was just in a mood. And he was, like, yelling at me for no apparent reason. I'm like, what is going on? Why are you just yelling at me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I end up leaving. I'm going, this is just bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't know why he's so angry. And I remember him calling you up and apologizing and, you know, well,
yeah.
I forgive you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, of course. But for that brief moment, I thought, I don't have to come back down for Christmas. Thank you, God. This is over. Thank you. I don't have to do this anymore.
Right.
And then that didn't last long because we're all needed in those times, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's so interesting, though, seeing the similarities with Doug and his family,
mm-hmm.
just the amount of time and care
mm-hmm.
and the drain, the energetic drain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because you wouldn't think it would be that much of a drain because you're not doing much.
Mm-hmm.
But it is.
It is a drain.
It's just a drain.
Especially if you're, like you're talking about, his one sister who is, she's wired differently than the other two sisters who I think are drained by it.
Yes.
Where, like you said, she's obviously has an end date. She's going home. But also she's just, you know, drawn differently. She's
much calmer.
She's calmer. She can handle it, you know, where like you said, my brother John, he has no room for any kind of tolerance of anything.
Mm-mm, not one bit.
I mean, if it doesn't fit in his little tight criteria, you know.
And he has, and some people have no room for things going wrong. So the way to prevent that is to have to do nothing. Like I remember, I would take grandmother out. To a movie and dinner.
Yes.
And everybody was really surprised. Like, oh my God, grandma's out of the nursing home.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, how'd you do it? I go, well, I'll show you how I did it, but I don't want to hear an effing comment about it. Because it ain't pretty.
Threw her in the car.
That's true. You know, my car is low enough. I was able to use momentum to just pivot her in her, and I put the wheelchair in the back, and we did it.
And you know what? I'm sure she didn't care that it, you know, wasn't that
wasn't pretty.
Gentle. It wasn't pretty. It was pretty, but it's gritty.
And because every time I came down, she's like, let's get the hell out of here.
Get out of here. Yeah.
But I know that other people, it was just too difficult
mm-hmm.
to think about that. I mean, you and I would always take her out. We'd do facials and all that stuff. But other people would come and let's just stay in your room. Let's not do anything that may cause something else to happen.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
What's the worst?
And we would take her. We would go into the back of the nursing home sometimes and just have a picnic.
Yeah.
So that, and they
and they're like, what are you guys doing back there? Having a picnic?
Just getting her out of the
nursing home. It's kind of cold out. I'm like, it's 60 degrees.
Yeah.
She has a blanket on. She's fine. She doesn't want to go back in. It's so funny, though, because I always remember, like, really, we have to be this cautious?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really?
Yeah, maybe because, who knows, now we know, maybe there's, like, insurance.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah. So craziness.
I know.
That's crazy. But that's why I love your friend Marcia,
yes.
Marcia Beachy, doing this conference
yes.
on conscious living and conscious dying.
Right.
ConsciousLivingDying.org. You know, just...
in that area or get there?
Yes.
Go to Pueblo.
Go to Southern Colorado Conference.
It's at Pueblo.
Pueblo, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, not the Northern Colorado Conference. And so we warmly invite you to join us in this vital conversation on life, death, and the afterlife. Like, I love that.
Yes. You know, and you're right, girlfriend. It is a vital conversation, you know.
Yes.
And maybe it should be looked at, you know, like every couple years because, you know, you grow, you change, you evolve. Things may look differently from one vantage point.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe your life has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Situations have changed. And yet I know there are people in other countries they don't even think about these things. This is not even in their...
Right.
They don't have to think about it because they don't have Medicare
mm-hmm.
that will take care of all this stuff. And
mm-hmm.
But didn't it floor you to think that 25 cents out of every dollar goes to the last year of your life?
I would even believe it's like...
More.
More and also less than the year. I would say like the last month maybe, you know.
Right. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Mm. It's crazy. But I want to say, Mama, when I brought up this conversation
mm-hmm.
with you today that
mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about this, you were like, this is depressing.
Well, I was telling you my truth.
You were.
I'm like, it's kind of depressing, Julie, for a Sunday night.
and to the fact that you let this happen and that we did it. We got through it, and it's been kind of fun.
I know.
You know, just kind of thinking about it. Yet neither one of us really came out with clarity on what we want to have happen.
No. Well, and none of us cried either.
No. I did a little bit, but I hope I covered it up.
Oh, good for you.
The only thing that I would like to have happen, I've always felt this way,
mm-hmm.
and yet I know it's probably not legal. I don't want to be embalmed, and I would like to be like in a burlap bag
mm-hmm.
and then in the ground
mm-hmm.
because then I feel that I could...
Dissolve. Or,
yeah. Bug would get to me and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all that stuff.
The worms crawl in.
Yep. Like pinnacle on your mouth. Exactly. All that stuff. I always thought that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then you go, what do I really care?
Because you're biodegradable.
Yes. I help it all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I help it all. So.
You're so sweet, girlfriend.
So, you know. And for you, I know what your initial plan is.
Do you?
It's very small.
Mm-hmm.
Very small.
Very small.
not a lot of notice for everybody, so they can come and, you know, whatever. Oh, it happens in an hour. If you can't be here, sorry.
I'm going to make it, I'm going to refine that and make it even smaller than small.
You know, it's so funny. This whole show, I've been, there's an article in the O magazine that I wanted to read and talk to you about,
mm-hmm.
except that I've been trying to find it, and literally it's just page after page of advertisements.
Is this an O?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like, oh, forget it.
And you're winging it.
And I'm winging it. I'm just like, okay, cool. So.
And guess what your favorite show is?
It's on the night at this moment. What
and,
is it?
And it's called Something About Being Dead.
Oh, that's right. What a coincidence. The world is full of coincidences.
What's the name of your show?
Afraid of the Walking Dead.
Afraid of the Walking Dead.
Guess what it's about?
The Walking Dead?
The zombies. Yes, it's okay, so you know I like The Walking Dead, and it's about zombies and time has passed. So, but this is really about when the moment it happens, you know, that first patient zero,
mm-hmm.
and how
was it a virus or something?
We really don't know. They really don't discuss that.
Of course they don't.
It's one of those.
Of course they
yeah.
don't.
It's like in that movie Jumper, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it with
Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis, and he's like, you want to talk about time travel?
Right.
Really?
You can't talk about time.
We can't time travel.
You can't handle the truth.
Give me, do you want me to draw a diagram?
Yeah, it's a twisted wormhole of a black hole of truth.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we get it.
We get it.
Yeah.
It's, watch Interstellar,
yes.
you know, which you loved, by the way.
Yes, I did.
Speaking back really quick about Interstellar, though, I remember, thinking all the through the whole movie that I'm guessing gravity was already taken for a name.
Yes.
He just kept
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. Well, that was my first
gravity.
Thought. That was my first thought.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Like, oh, gravity
I'm
was already taken.
That, they did that you couldn't name it gravity.
Yeah.
Because gravity's the answer.
Yeah. Gravity's the answer. Oh, then why not name it gravity?
Oops.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. So my mind is just reeling right now. I don't know if I should share that or not. I remember that one joke about the movie Gravity, and this is not a spoiler alert. I mean, it is, but it's a joke. So.
Julie, Gravity's been out for
yeah. There's
10
a
years.
Point where you just got to go.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. See it now or forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the joke goes like this: the only movie where George Clooney chooses to die than to be with somebody in space that's his own age. And I go, that is funny.
That is funny, except didn't he kind of marry somebody his own age, or no?
You can't call someone 15 years younger your own age.
Okay. They just look equal to me.
They do. She looks like she's old.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
not old,
mature.
Like mature.
She's
like,
mature.
Like, hey, I got a brain.
Yeah.
I got a career. I got a job. I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
Don't effing mess with me.
Yes, exactly.
I don't have time for this bull crap.
You will.
Yes.
You will mess
There are
with
just
me.
Those people out there that look timelessly older.
Oops.
And, like, they're not. They're, does that make sense?
Yeah, because I wouldn't. When you said that, you and I were watching.
Oh, yeah.
What was that new show, We Have Issues?
Yes, on the E! Channel.
On the E! Channel. And they went and did a riff, or they went and did on the Fashion Police.
Yeah.
They went into their sound stage or their studio and did a little, kind of a little thing with them, right? But Melissa Rivers is one of the, on the panel, Juliana Rancic and Bradley, somebody, but Joan Rivers' daughter just freaked me out because she has, I wouldn't call it aged. You know what I mean? Like gotten, but she's gotten, she looked like her mom.
That is the weird part.
Am I right?
You're right. I mean, whatever, I don't know if this is the outfit she was wearing on the show or not, but it looked like literally her mom, like she was trying to mimic her mom.
Yeah.
Because before she looked kind of like the youthful daughter.
She was the daughter, and and had her hair. But all of a sudden, I can't describe it. It's like she turned into like an old Jewish woman.
Yes, and she's her mother.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is freaking me out.
It freaked me out.
Yes.
Is that what you're referring to? And some people look older for their age? No.
No, but that's true. I was thinking of, you know, my Aunt Irma, who,
yes,
ever since I've known her, has had her hair done a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
The, like a, I don't know what you call it, not a beehive, but she's always had a short haircut, kind of teacher-esque her whole life.
Right.
And now that she's in her 80s, I'm like, damn, you haven't aged a bit in her
No,
life.
She grew into her look.
She grew into her look. And if someone would have told me that, like, hey, you start dressing like a 90-year-old when you're in your 50s?
Yeah, when you're 90, you're going to look like you look. You haven't aged,
aged a bit
in 40 years.
Like, that was my plan.
That was my devious plan all along.
Exactly. So, girlfriend, what's going on with your life this week?
This coming week?
Yes. Anything special?
Mm-mm, not really.
Well, it's been.
I think I'm beginning to think about doing a like a CD for like the sound mind, sound brain thing.
Oh, good.
To start looking at that, but you know, although I may just want to enjoy the cooler weather,
yes,
and play hooky.
I get that. Yeah. Well, it's been lovely because this weekend in our small town community, we had the Scarecrow Festival,
yes,
where people would come and dress up different scarecrows in downtown Dixon, and we would judge it and so forth, and we drove around.
It's like little Mayberry RFK.
Yeah, it's so great.
Oh, well, we went to a place, though, this week that was truly Mayberry RFK.
Truly.
Went to a Mendota Hills campground, and can I say literally?
Yes.
It was going back in time, Mayberry RFD. They had little Annie was the campground dog, and everybody in this place has golf carts. And she would just get on one person's golf cart, and when they'd stop, she'd get off and go to another person's golf cart. And they had bunnies just running around,
yes,
and chickens, and everybody was
happy and
friendly. And
And life was good.
Wow.
Yes.
I was like pinching myself.
What does RFD mean?
Mayberry RFD? I think it means like rural, some farming, I don't know.
Something. I mean, that's really a thing, Mayberry RFD.
Yeah, that was the name of the show.
Mayberry RFD?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Da 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 da. I think something like that, and with Opie and...
Well, you know... I know we have to leave in about 2 minutes, so
really?
I'm going to tell everybody real quick to go to Amazon and buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Speak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life. And just like Buddha said, you know, and how gracefully you let go of things not meant for you. That's called clutter.
That's right. That's called the Clutterfly Effect.
Exactly.
Speaking your way to total transformation by decluttering your life in all ways, right?
In all ways,
in
for
physical
sure.
Physical clutter, emotional clutter. Letting go of the life, huh? Once it's over with, just let go.
Live,
love a lot, live lightly, and gracefully let go.
Thank you. I'm trying really hard in both those, which means probably not. I'm not being really graceful at it. I'm trying really hard.
You're graceful, sweetie.
And I just want to say before we leave that my dog Elliot now has a new show that he loves.
Yes, he does.
And it's pretty profound. It's called Cowboy Church.
Yes.
On the RFTD show, you know?
No. Yeah. RFDTV?
Yeah, something like that.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and
he does. Elliot, just this guy is a horse whisperer.
And talks.
His show is called Cowboy Church.
Yes. And
Elliot's mesmerized
by it.
He just sits in front of the TV set, looks up there, and for 30 minutes doesn't move.
Well, he also puts his paws on the TV stand his nose
right
up
on
the
screen. Yes.
I have never seen him do that before.
Yeah, and the guy is so gentle, the horse whisperer is.
I know.
So let's recommend Cowboy Church.
For dog lovers and horse lovers everywhere. Yes. All right, everyone, thank you so much
for
being part
of our podcast. Love you. And
love
what?
You.
As always, it was great. It was great.